Acts 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "Oh, they've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
If you were here last week, you will remember that we watched a short film, an excerpt from a film from the Alpha film series. And it basically talked about the Holy Spirit right from the beginning, from creation, through the Old Testament, through the Old Testament prophets, particularly how the Holy Spirit came on particular characters for particular purposes, and led us right through to the New Testament. And now we're about to watch the second part of that, which takes us through the New Testament to the day of Pentecost. So, if all works well, we are about to watch that now. So that journey through Scripture, learning about the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is, and recognising the important point there right at the end is that the Holy Spirit is now for all of us, for all people. It's poured out on all God's people. That's the thing that we take away, and that's the importance of Pentecost, that we remember that, it was poured out on that little group of people that were gathered there, but it was so that it could then be shared by all people. What we see throughout Scripture is this opening of God's love for all people. We see it also in terms of salvation, when Jesus chooses one particular person that then becomes a family, then becomes a tribe, then becomes a nation, and then it becomes for all nations. It's constantly getting wider. God's reach is constantly getting broader and wider. More and more people are included. And whereas we have a human tendency to close things off and say, well, we're the people who are in and they're the people who are out, and we like to kind of close ranks and have borders and nation states and have everything kind of controlled, God's tendency is to break down those walls, to constantly open up and be wider and wider and more inclusive, include more and more people. That's the movement of God, that's the movement of the Holy Spirit, and we see that so clearly at Pentecost. There was a quote in the video from John 7:39, where it says, "On the last day and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice." Now, this festival that Jesus was at was a festival where people remembered. It was a bit like harvest, particularly to do with water and to do with God providing water. We don't have a shortage of that in this country, so we probably wouldn't have that festival in our kind of lineage. But in that part of the world, if you didn't get enough water, then you would starve and you would die. And we've talked about this before around harvest, about this insecurity that people had, about this idea that God, or the gods as it was then, were angry with you. And that if you didn't make the right sacrifices, if you didn't, you know, kill the right animals, or if you go back even further, if you didn't sacrifice your own children, the things that were most precious to you, then you might not get the rain, and then everyone in your tribe would die. So there's this whole insecurity about how we relate to God is to do with the fact that we're really scared that he's angry with us, he's not going to give us enough rain, so let's pray and let's have this festival to hope that we just get enough. And on that festival, which is all about their understanding that God is kind of mean and may not give them enough rain, Jesus stands up, it says, at that festival and says in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." So this festival, it's about not having enough water. He says, "Anyone who's thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." So this is a difference between God being up there somewhere and hoping that it'll drop enough rain on you, to Jesus saying, "Come to me and living waters will flow out of you." No longer being insecure about whether you're going to get enough, but living waters will flow from you, says Jesus. And it says that by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. So there's a connection here between Jesus being glorified, which is his death, resurrection, and ascension, and him sending the Spirit. The result of the death and resurrection, of the being glorified of Jesus, is that the Holy Spirit is poured out on the church. So we could look at it simply like this. Jesus pays the price by giving his life on the cross. And through that, we understand that we are put right with God. So this sacrificial system, which had been there throughout all world religions and always been there, is suddenly superseded by this idea that God himself, in the person of Jesus, becomes the ultimate sacrifice, becomes that child that gives his life for the sake of all. So that's done on the cross. And through that, we are put right with God. Jesus, through that cross and through the resurrection, defeats death. Death is destroyed because it cannot hold him, because Jesus is God himself, and so death cannot hold him down. So he destroys the power of death, and Jesus ascends. His resurrection and then his ascension, Jesus ascends. And through that, that's what here in that passage talks about him being glorified. He's raised up, he's lifted up, and he is glorified. And then, from that point of being glorified, Jesus then sends the Holy Spirit down. So there's an ascension, Jesus going to heaven, and then there is a descending of the Holy Spirit being poured out on his people. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is that it becomes a marker for what is to come. A mark or a down payment for the future new heaven and new earth. We see this in Ephesians 1. It says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal." Not a seal that goes, ar, ar, but a seal like a stamp. "You were marked with him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." So just take that back again. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a mark upon us to say, you belong to God. You belong to this future reality that is coming, when there will be no more sin, no more sickness, no more death. All that God is going to do when heaven and earth come together, when the kingdom finally comes in completion, we belong to that future. And the Holy Spirit marks us for that future. He is a deposit, it says, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. We belong to God. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does inside of us is it lets us know that we are part of that family. It reassures us of that future. And more than just that, not than just, oh, that's great, so we've got that coming, so we can just hang around. But rather, we work towards that future. Jesus tells us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. He's saying, bring heaven into earth. Wherever you see pain, bring healing. Wherever you see hunger, bring food. Wherever you see those who are pushed to the outside, welcome them in. Bring heaven into earth. So this is a future reality that will come in completion when Jesus returns. But we are to live into, step into that future reality now. And we do that with the Holy Spirit inside of us, reminding us of who we are. We're going to have a little interview now. I've asked Hazel if she'll come and talk to us about her experience of receiving the Holy Spirit. And we're doing that not to say this is how it should be for everybody, but we're doing that to share one experience to encourage you to perhaps think about your experience of the Holy Spirit and how you might share that with others. So, let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
When did you first hear about the Holy Spirit?
I think really at school, more or less like most people, I heard about the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea about the Holy Spirit. When I was 10 years old, I went to a Baptist church. And it was there that I put my hand up to follow Jesus. Now, it was very real. And at that time, I had my dolls and put away my dolls. But it was a really... I knew that Jesus was real. But after that, I had many difficulties in my life in the respect of being moved from one place to another. So my life wasn't straightforward, and because of that, when I was sort of 18, maybe a little later, I sort of put away church and went into the world. I moved around an awful lot, and then I got married. And in getting married, we again moved around into different countries, and I ended up by living in Germany. Well, whilst I was living in Germany, I worked at school. I was part of the teaching team at a local school, and the chaplain, I've forgot his name, sorry, the chaplain asked me if I'd like to sort of start a Sunday school. Now, I started this Sunday school on the patch where we lived, not because I felt that God was telling me to start the Sunday school, but because the chaplain wanted it and it would be good for our children. During this time, somebody gave me two books. One was called Prison to Praise, and the other one, Malcolm knows very well, 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, I read those books, didn't think too much about it, but after I read 9 o'clock in the morning, it was amazing, because it told me about a personal God, a God who was interested in me. Now, because of my journey, I thought that God was a long way away and he wasn't interested in anybody down here that had... How can I put this in a different way? Let me just say that I always thought that people who were going to church had it all together. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I didn't have it all together. So I thought, oh, God wouldn't be very interested in me. Anyway, I read the book again. And you know, after reading the book again, I thought to myself, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if this remarkable God was interested in me. Now, I think that Helen said something this morning when she was doing the reading about maybe it's ourselves, we have to step into it. Whatever it is that you think that you'd like, you have to make a choice. And so I made a choice, and I thought, well, if this is a real God, and he's really interested in people, and he might be interested in me, I'm going to step into this. So one morning, I went into the bedroom, and I knelt down, and I asked the Holy Spirit to come and fill me. Now, I had no idea what the Holy Spirit was. I didn't see him as the third person of the Trinity. I didn't have a Bible. In fact, if you'd have asked me anything about the Bible, I wouldn't have been able to tell you anything. But I hungered for what it said in the book that I could have, and I wanted that. So I knelt down and I asked the Holy Spirit to come in and fill me and to give me the gift of tongues, which again was something that I had no idea about. And the Holy Spirit came in and the Holy Spirit poured down and I cried and cried and cried, and it was just like a fountain that fell down on me, and it was incredible. And I had the gift of tongues, and yes, I spoke in the prayer language that God gave me, and it was remarkable. And eventually I got up and I went into the bathroom, and I'm telling you, just as it was, I spoke the gift that the Lord had given me in the gift of tongues in front of the mirror, because it was so remarkable, and I was so changed. I was so changed. You have no idea what my life has been like or was like. And do you know, those circumstances they weren't changed. They were just the same. But my goodness me, I was changed from the inside out. I mean, you see me here now as an old lady who worships and waves her arms away around and so forth. And that's okay, that's good. But I'm telling you, this remarkable gift, and I'm sorry, you haven't really sort of been able to...
I don't need to.
But this remarkable gift, it was so empowering, it was so sensational, but not sensational as the world would know it. It was an empowering that was beautiful. I was changed. And if you are sitting in here today and have no idea about being filled with the Holy Spirit, I just tell you, you are missing out so much. He filled me, he empowered me, and he ministered to me, and the brokenness that was in me was ministered to too. And I went out from there, and my life was changed in the respect that I told people about Jesus. I told people what had happened. And there were certain people who decided that I not only was cranky, but, no, that's fine. Not only was I cranky, but the gift wasn't for today. The gift was for years ago. It wasn't for today. It is, and it is for today. And in 2019, it's still is for today. And I can't tell you the things that happened. They were remarkable things. But I also had an awful amount of... There was a certain organization that really didn't believe that the gifting was for today. And I'm telling you this because there will be times when in your own Christian journey, you get negativity. Just take it back to God. And that's all I did. I took it back to God. And God showed me the way. And he's shown me the way since in a variety of different ways. He's shown me the giftings that he wants us to have and the gifting for me. And one of those giftings was a gift of deliverance. And in that, he delivered me of stuff that had been in the past, stuff that had been in my closet, in my cupboard, that I didn't really want anybody to know about. And we're all like that, aren't we? I hope that's all right.
That's great. Can I just ask one other question?
Yeah, of course.
So you had that amazing first encounter, first experience in filling with the Holy Spirit. But how do you carry on being filled? What does it look like now?
Well, there's so many different elements. The Holy Spirit is so beautiful. I cannot tell you how beautiful the Holy Spirit is and how empowering and how strengthening. And, you know, we all leak. I always thought that when I got to my age, 102 as I am now, that everything would be fine. Everything would be beautiful. I would be this radiant Christian. I would never do anything wrong. You understand what I mean? Oh. Believe me, it's not like that. But, you know, the gift of tongues is a gift that enables you inside. The more you use the giftings that the Lord has given, the more you strengthen your inner self. And for me, on the journey that I've traveled, I couldn't have traveled the journey without being filled with the Holy Spirit. When I say my prayers, I use the gift of tongues. And I would encourage everybody here to do that. When I sing in church, if I could only encourage you all to just lift up your voice and the gift that the Lord has given and to use it in the church, it enables, it strengthens, and it directs you. I was thinking, because I knew that I was going to do this with Phil, and I thought, how can I tell you how the Holy Spirit helps? You know, so often, the Holy Spirit is so quiet and so gentle and so sweet and never pushy. Mm. And it's up to me if I want to. So I'll sit there and I'll ask the Holy Spirit in the mornings to fill me and to minister to me and to take me on. And he enables me then to do the things that he wants me to do. And in that same way, you know, if I'm looking for something, it's just like he gives me a little nudge. I can't say that I've heard the Holy Spirit saying, oh, Hazel, look in that drawer, or Hazel, go. But I know he gives a nudge. And because we're all different, we all have different giftings. Mm. And because we all have different giftings, then we need each other's giftings to help each other to journey together, because we are the army of God. And the Lord is coming back for a church that is white and fresh and clean and holy, and we need each other to be able to achieve that. Does that help?
Does.
That,
okay. Yeah. Has anybody got any questions? Sorry, I didn't say I was going to do this, did I? But
no, it's okay.
Throw it open for, is there any last questions for Hazel?
Oh, come on. There must be a question here. It's like when we go in the prayer room and we get one person coming, and I think to myself, my goodness me, does everybody have it all together?
Caroline. Yeah, if you could, then everyone can hear. Thanks.
I was going to ask a question, but actually you've answered my question, because when I was first filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was an Alpha Away day many, many years ago now, maybe a few months after that, I remember Tina gave me a book about being a Spirit-filled woman. Do you remember that? You probably don't remember. I've still got the book. And in there was just these two women writing about how to ask for the gift of tongues. And so I did, and God gave me the gift of speaking in tongues. But I have to say, over the years, I've been a little bit unsure about how to use the gift of speaking in tongues. And one of my questions was going to be, well, maybe that confirmation or affirmation about using that gift really every day in your prayer life. And I know I'd seen a clip recently with the Archbishop of Canterbury. He speaks in tongues every morning as part of his prayer routine. And I think that's just encouraged me to use the gift more and more, because I really wasn't sure quite, I've got this gift, what do I use it for? I'm not really sure. So thank you for that.
Thank you. So if the Archbishop of Canterbury does it, it must be okay. Is that the rule?
Because of where we were living out in Germany. And I had to travel to the centre of London in the car. And, you know, the gifts of my prayer language was something that I used all the time in the car. And so often, because in Belgium there's like a spaghetti junction as there is in Birmingham, I was really petrified that I was going to get on the wrong road. It would have been so easy to do. And the gift empowered me to get on the right road, but just to do the right thing. And I think that's what it does. I think the Holy Spirit is a person, and he's such a beautiful person, and he wants to empower the church in every way. And he wants to empower each one of us. Smith Wigglesworth is somebody I've looked up to, and I will be very interested to speak to him when I go to heaven. But Smith Wigglesworth went everywhere to be filled with the Holy Spirit and ended up in the north. And when he went, he still didn't become filled with the Holy Spirit because it didn't happen in the church. But he went round to see somebody in the vicar, and the vicar's wife said, "Oh, well, I'll just pray for you." And she prayed for him just like that, and he was filled. Yeah. I had a friend who was a dustman, and I only tell you that he was a dustman, not because of... But he was a very ordinary man, and he came to see me one time in Harrogate, and he said, "Hazel, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to have the gift of tongues." I said, "Oh, all right." Well, he sat in the chair, and I sat here. And the Holy Spirit came down and filled him. I tell you that not because it was anything to do with me. It wasn't anything to do with me. And this conversation today is not to do with me. I hope you hear this. Okay. It's to do with the Holy Spirit. It's to do with what God wants to do in the church. It's what God wants to do in St. Andrews. It's what God wants to do internationally. He wants to fill the church. He wants to empower us, because we stand, and I cannot tell you this more, we stand against an enemy that has become more and more powerful. Why he's become more and more powerful is because we have the New Age movement and other things, which I'm not going to talk about now, but we have those in the world, and people are wanting them, and more they're wanting them. So we as a church have a responsibility, not me, all of us have a responsibility to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be really on guard, to bring the knowledge of Jesus Christ and that empty cross to a needy world. Mm. And we can only do it by being empowered by the Holy Spirit in the way that he wants.
Thank you. I think that's really true. The translation of the word power that we often read in the New Testament, where it says the power of the Holy Spirit, the more accurate translation apparently would be courage.
Yes.
So the Holy Spirit gives us courage to, you know, to be in a world where it's difficult.
Absolutely.
And where there are things coming against us.
Absolutely.
So I think that's really true. That's what the Holy Spirit is for, to give us that courage. Thank you, Hazel, so much for sharing what you've done, what you said there. And Hazel mentioned, thank you, yeah. Hazel mentioned that there are lots of different gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's the gift of administration. We often focus on the things like tongues and, you know, those kind of things that are kind of interesting or intriguing, or depending on, you know, some people are really put off by those kind of things. Other people are really attracted to those kind of things. But the Holy Spirit is given to the church for all the different all these different tasks, not just the kind of more spiritual ones. They're all spiritual. There's none of these that aren't spiritual. But she mentioned particularly speaking in tongues, and maybe that's something you've experienced or maybe something you haven't. And at the end of the service, there will be people who are available to pray with you. If you'd like to pray to receive that gift or any other gift, then please do hang around and get somebody to pray with you for that. She also mentioned about deliverance. Maybe that's something that you feel God is calling you into, or maybe you think, actually, I need prayer for that. I've got things in my life that need clearing out, that I need to get in there and clear. God needs to clear those things out. So maybe this morning is an opportunity to do that as well. Don't miss that opportunity. So I'm just going to bring this into close by focusing on that the day of Pentecost. It says that they're huddled together in a room. So they're away from the outside world. They've decided, I mean, understandably, they're kind of confused. You know, Jesus, they put all their hope in Jesus, and Jesus has been crucified. And so, but they're doing what they've been told, and they're gathering together. They're obeying Jesus. They gather together in that room. And as they're in that room, the Holy Spirit comes in power. And as the Holy Spirit comes in power and gives them those different languages, we then see that this thing that is inside a room becomes outside the room. It's for not to be kept inside that little huddle, but is to burst out. It says, so suddenly they're out on the streets, they're speaking in different languages, and these languages connect with people. I think that's the important thing here. It's about connecting with people who are outside the church and the people on the street. And in fact, it's something for all nations. We find that they're speaking in these languages for all nations. And the crowds gather around them. And some of them ridicule, you know, you must be drunk or mad. But others are intrigued and they want to know more. And many, it says, many come to believe and are baptized. So to bring it all together, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit for a few weeks. The Holy Spirit fills us up as believers, as the church. And as the Holy Spirit fills us with his power, we are then to flow out into our workplaces, into our homes, into our schools, into the places where we live with this power to live out our faith. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. The Holy Spirit is given so that we can be the church, not just to be kept inside this building, but so that we can live out our lives of faith in the world. And next week, we're going to spend a couple of weeks looking at how we share our faith. So how we take our faith that we might think is a very personal thing and how we share it out in the world. And we might have certain ideas about what that looks like, but hopefully we're going to share is that God knows us personally and he gives the Spirit to us personally because the Spirit knows us personally. And we are called to live out our faith as ourselves. Somebody once said that being a Christian is about discovering who you would be if Jesus was living inside of you. So it's about becoming like Jesus if Jesus was living inside of you. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It brings Jesus' presence into our lives so that we can then live it out in the world. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the story of Pentecost. Lord, that is a story from history, but that speaks into our present day reality. And so we thank you that that same Spirit that was there on the day of Pentecost is available to us now. We thank you, Lord, for our experience of your Holy Spirit, as Hazel shared hers, and we all have different stories of how you have equipped us and empowered us. But Lord, we don't just want to have stories from the past, but we want stories from the present and the future, for all that you're going to do in us and through us as your church. So Lord, pour out your Spirit again. Fill your people with power from on high, that we can be your church in the world, sharing your good news, bringing your kingdom on heaven, bringing your kingdom on earth as in heaven. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.